The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and yes, SiriusXM Channel 158. What's happening? It's Gil Alexander. This gentleman to my left, to your right, is Kelly Bidlin, everybody. Producer number 9. So much more than a producer. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
You seem closer today.
I feel physically. I feel like we look closer to.
Oh, you know what? I'm not on my mark. I think it's me. Sorry, guys. I'll be
Stop
moving
creeping
next
over
segment.
On me, Gil. Come
hi,
on, man.
Hi, Kelly.
This is the dividing line.
Maybe I should move after this segment. On the show today,
let's
good
just
one.
Get closer.
Good one, as always. Getting uncomfortably close
let's
to each other.
Let's get 3 inches closer every segment.
Next segment, shoulder to shoulder, me and Kelly. Drew Dinsick will join us. Whale Capper on Twitter. He is the host of not one, but two podcasts. Co-hosts the Deep Dive with Andy Molitor. And, of course, NBC Sports Bet the Edge with Jay Croucher. He will join us. Drew to talk tennis, football, and a little NBA as well. And speaking of tennis, many of you had the pleasure of waking up this morning, well, assuming you were on the right side of this, Novak Djokovic takes down Carlitos to get to the semifinals of the Australian Open. Did so in 4 sets. He looked injured. He looked impaired. We'll talk to Drew about that. I didn't get a chance to watch most of it because I was asleep for most of it and then coming here into work. But Novak gets to the semis. Novak has won 10 Australian Opens.
That's pretty good. It's not bad.
If you're not Rafa at the French Open, that's about as good as it gets. But he's trying to win his 11th. Of course, Jannik Sinner still remains between him and the title. We will talk NFL Conference Championship games. Of course, Will Hill with all of his bets, both in the National Football League and beyond. And then Paul Carr with the Champions League. How about some midweek Champions League action?
The
everybody.
Champions. There is a match that Paul Carr has bet an over 4.5 in.
Oh,
I'm just throwing that out there now.
Wow.
A soccer match today, not even tomorrow. And where he is on the over 4.5.
And for the new folks at SiriusXM 158 who might be checking this out for the first time, we will actually tell you what the Champions League is, because this is for the American standard American sports fan. This is always very confusing. Paul has an analogy. It'd be like playing some NCAA conference tournaments in the middle of a basketball season.
It's like the NBA Cup if the games didn't count for the regular season.
Yeah,
you don't think the American public knows enough about the NBA Cup yet to make that comparison?
Maybe they do.
Probably not.
Well, we'll get Paul's thoughts on that and then how he's handicapping that. Got to start with the college football national championship last night. Ohio State wins it and covers, but barely in the end. My goodness. This was a very strange game in terms of how the game script went. With it looked like the Buckeyes were just going to blow them out of the gym, as they say, and then this was going to be just easy peasy for Buckeyes backers. Notre Dame started out with a 18-play, 75-yard drive that took 9 minutes and 45 seconds off the clock to go up 7-0. We had a big argument on the, not a big argument, but a debate on the group text last night. I was like, is that a great drive or is that a drive where you're just lucky to move the chains, right?
I thought it was great.
The narrative is always, what a great drive. Yeah, but you're just kind of getting there. And so, Todd took the approach of, that's not a great drive.
Okay. I took it as the opening drives were always very scripted, right? Like it was a lot of quarterback runs that clearly Ohio State wasn't prepared for. I thought Notre Dame, they took advantage of a scripted opening drive.
From that point, an Ohio State onslaught. 11 plays, 75 yards. Howard and Jeremiah Smith from 8 out, 7-7 after Notre Dame 3 and out. Ohio State, 10 plays, 76 yards. Quinshon Judkins in from 9, 14-7. 6:15 left in the second quarter after another Notre Dame 3 and out. 12 plays, 80 yards. Howard to Judkins from 6 out, 21-7 at the half. And then it only got, by the way, Howard 14 of 15 for 144, and he was spreading them out. Tate for 33, Ibuka for 33, Smith 32, Judkins 21, Ennis for 19. 231-93 in total yards. Ohio State 6 for 6 on third down. Or as Molly McGrath put it to Marcus Freeman as they went to the locker room after that 21-7 thrashing. She said, how does your defense get them off the field on third down? And Freeman thinks about it for a second and says, we got to get them off the field on third down. which is a great exchange. Notre Dame, largest deficit faced this season at that point. 14 points, Ohio State 58-4 went up at the half. Well, third quarter, it only got worse for the Irish. Ohio State comes out, five plays, 75 yards. The second play was a Judkins 70-yard sprint. Three plays later, he was in from one, 28-7. And then after a Notre Dame three and out, they tried the fake punt. Steve Angeli, incomplete, intended for Jordan Faison. And so then Ohio State's up 21 points now, set up at the Notre Dame 33. So you're like, okay, yeah, this is like at this point,
blowout.
If your mind drifts, you are not to be blamed.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're like, well, this is a run out. And then it was like, you know, what's the March of the Penguins when Morgan Freeman says, and then one day one penguin takes one step to the left and everybody follows them. Nobody knows why.
This is my favorite Gil Alexander reference that he makes at least three times a year.
Because it's just, yeah, it's about three times
about
a year.
About three times right. a year, yeah.
And then one penguin takes one. So Howard misses a wide open Carnell Tate in the end zone. So this is after a hold. But he misses a wide open Carnell Tate. So that, you know, you probably didn't pay much attention to that at the moment, but they have to settle for a field goal.
Mm-hmm.
So it's 31-7. You're at the time, you're like, well, big deal. They're up 24.
Oh, I'm already on secondary TV. Yeah,
oh, yeah. I'm watching tennis. I'm watching Bedosa and Goff. We'll get the tennis picks coming up as well.
Where was that match? Sorry.
I watched it on ESPN Plus, but I didn't know as I was watching it on ESPN Plus, I was like, wait a minute, maybe this is on ESPN 2.
That's what I kept doing, and I couldn't find it,
okay,
and then it was too late.
Yeah, so it was ESPN Plus. Okay, so Notre Dame gets the ball down 24. This is the first time they put together a big drive since the opening salvo. 10 plays, 75 yards. Leonard Jaden Greathouse for 34. The two-point try to Jeremiah Love is good. Remember, they're down 24, so they need 3 times 8. There's your first 8. It's 31-15, late third quarter. Then Ohio State matriculates again. But on 2nd and 8 at the Notre Dame 45, Howard to Igbuka for 24, ball poked out. Notre Dame recovers. And then down 16, it's 4th and goal at the 9 for Notre Dame with 9 minutes and 33 seconds left in the game. What do you do, Kelly Bidlin?
Go for 2, obviously.
I mean, go for the touchdown, you mean?
Touchdown, yeah, sorry.
Yeah,
yes, not kick the field goal.
So Kelly goes for 2, which is an option that most of us didn't know was available to us at that point. Kelly's I've got a special play.
All right, score the touchdown, then go for 2.
Well, Marcus Freeman decides he's going to kick a field goal. And Jeter doinks a 27-yarder. Because whenever you get a chance to knock down a 2-score game to a 2-score game at that point, you really got to
take it every time.
You really got to take that opportunity. So Ohio State does have to punt after that. And then Notre Dame goes 6 plays, 80 yards. Leonard to Greathouse from 30. P.I. anyway, didn't matter. Jordan Faison to Bo Collins for 2. It's 31-23 with 4:15 left. Remember, most of the week, this was 8. If this lands 8, certain sports books get crushed.
Mm-hmm. Just like that Chiefs-Texans game.
And for those of us who decided to bet Ohio State -8, it's one of these, like, this will be the worst push ever. Seriously, this will be the worst push ever. What happens then is Ohio State gets into a 3rd and 11 at their own 34 with 2:45 left. Howard to Jeremiah Smith for 56. Unbelievable. 1st and goal at the Notre Dame, 10 with 2 minutes left. Then you get into the whole thing. Okay, the number's 8 for most. Right? Some people who had the 8.5s were dying that they laid the 8.5. But the number's 8, how is this going to play out? Are they going to just, because Notre Dame only had one timeout at that point. Are they just going to do a cloud of dust, kick a field goal? They start with a false start. That didn't make it very easy. But then Judkins for 1, timeout Notre Dame. Howard for 2, clock rolls. Howard loses 2. 29 seconds left. Fielding in, 33-yard field goal. Just sneaks in the right upright. Yeah. And Ohio State wins it by 11. So the books, or certain books, not all books, but certain books avoid a disaster. Ohio State gets home ultimately, barely, after leading by just, 24 points at one point in this game. This is, we talk about the congratulations, by the way, to Ohio State, to everybody who had them on futures, to Ryan Day. I wonder what the percentage of the Ohio State fan base today is still like, but we, still didn't beat Michigan. So let's get rid of the guy.
I'm going to go like 10%.
10%. I think it's still a non-negligible percentage where you're like, well, what's wrong with you people?
I agree.
By the way, Notre Dame covered 3 of the 4 quarters, if you want to do it that way as well. As far as the entire, like, 12-team format, as I have been saying now for 3 weeks, I think this has been a disaster just in terms of the timing of games, because it's all been spread out by more than a week from round to round. And I do think you lose the plot at some point. And so I believe they need to settle on a day of the week, whatever that week, like whatever. I would do it this way. If January 1st lands on any day, Monday through Friday, you just pick that day and you go backwards and forwards a week apart for all these rounds.
Sounds now, good to me.
If it ends up on the weekend, then you're kind of screwed in terms of that. It's a half-baked plan. But if it's on the week, I think that's how you format it. But just pick a day of the week and stick with that the whole way through, because otherwise we sort of – like, how many times did I have to remind myself this weekend that the college football national championship was on Monday night? At least 5 times. I don't think I'm alone.
I don't have the answers. I like your idea, though. I think we could make Saturdays work even, or like –
I don't know. The NFL's a behemoth, man.
I know.
It's exhausting already watching the NFL.
I know it is.
And really betting on it. I mean, in a good way. By the way, I don't agree with this. Do we have? Oh, did I send you the tweet? Maybe I didn't send you the tweet.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, I did. Okay. This is from a guy who covers Baylor sports, Sam Bradshaw. He says Kansas State's quarterback, he's talking about Will Howard here, throwing a touchdown to Ole Miss's running back for Ohio State, talking about Quinshon Judkins, who's defending against Wake Forest's quarterback. I think he means Duke's quarterback and Riley Leonard there, throwing a FIU's wide out. He means Chris Mitchell. After beating Texas, led by OSU's quarterback, he's talking about Quinn Ewers, to Houston's wideout last week, meeting Matthew Golden, summarizes why a lot of people care less now. I'm not sure that's it, but I'm sure for a small percentage that's it as well.
Yeah.
Not for me, though.
Doesn't affect me.
Not me. Yeah, I think that's a little overblown. I just think it's the spacing between games. We'll come back. Drew Dinsick, NFL, tennis, and of course the NBA. That's next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Want to bet smarter? Start with Smarter Insights. A VSiN Pro subscription delivers the kind of actionable content that gives you the betting edge. Right now, you can check out articles like Zach Cohen writing about the NFC showdown between the Commanders and the Eagles, and managing editor Adam Burke breaks down the AFC matchup between the Bills and the Chiefs. Pardon me, got emotional about that matchup. They analyze the key matchups to tell you what to expect from both conference championships. Greg Peterson, of course, as always, with his college basketball best bets. The man's nickname is Hoops, for God's sakes. And later today, you can check out a Farmers Insurance Open preview from Wes Reynolds, who has been on fire. Back-to-back wins at 110-1 and 60-1. Don't miss his expert breakdown and top pick for this week's PGA Tour action. Also, Zach on best NBA props and picks. Jonathan Davis, NHL best bets and props. It just goes on and on till the break of dawn. To get access to all the articles on VSiN.com, right now you can sign up for $59 off an annual subscription with promo code ANG.
ANG is an A numbers game, Gil.
Got one job, man. Just head to VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up today. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Best listeners in the game. This is from JD in Florida. Woke up at 4:30 a.m. to watch Djokovic and Alcaraz and did not think Joker stood a chance after the medical timeout in the first set. Women's side, golf just folded after the break of serve by Badosa in first set at 5-5. We'll get Drew's reaction to Djokovic and Alcaraz here momentarily. P5 Legends. Gil, looking at the NCAA March Madness bracket, isn't it hypocritical for the NCAA selection to blindly look at teams for choosing at large and then contradicting this by mandating same conference teams can't play in early rounds? Oh, you mean against each other. Skews the seeding badly. Seed 1 through 64 blindly. Oh, that's a very random tweet for a morning in January.
I'm still confused.
I don't think that it's contradictory, but I hear what you're saying, that it creates some kind of mishugas to it. But I don't think it's contradictory. We'll get into that more as the conference tournaments and the NCAA basketball season persist. Ice Cold Gambler, where's the Numbers Game Super Bowl party? I'm looking to have a drink with Kelly and a water with Gil. You can find me at Aria unless you guys have something better for us listeners. Well, Jason, Ice Cold Gambler, if a certain team from D.C. makes the Super Bowl, you know where it's going to be? Nollins.
Oops. Also, I appreciate the invite. Pretty sure you and I have talked about this on air before, but when it's the Super Bowl,
yeah,
it is me by myself watching on the couch. I don't want to be bothered at all.
I'm that way for every game in the playoffs.
I mean, it's the whole season, but yeah.
Hoops by Hoots. For as aggressive as Freeman was all playoffs, he went from Dan Campbell to Antonio Pierce in one night. Fake punt with the backup quarterback out there, and then a field goal down 16 with 10 minutes, because you know if you could turn a two-score game into a two-score game, you must. Believe I just said that. Yep. D-Gen Southern Gent, not asking you to share the recipe to Gilly's secret tennis sauce, but I was hoping maybe you'd share why you bet Bedosa on the game's handicap rather than the set or money line. As always, love hearing your insight and expertise. That's a good segue into Drew also. I will answer that question, and I'll be honest with you. I had Bencic plus 470 or something like that, plus 475 against Goff the other night, and I had her on the games line plus 5.5. She wins the first set 7-5. I'm thinking we might win both of these. Instead, she gets rolled, I think 6-2, 6-1 in the second and third sets. So we lose both of them. So I will be perfectly honest with you, D-Gen, Southern Gen. I think I was a little gun-shy at taking Bedosa on the money line. So I went with the games line, and obviously Bedosa wins it outright. Drew Dinsick joins us at @whale_capper, courtesy of the Progressive guest line. Drew, start wherever you want with tennis. Djokovic and Alcaraz might be the best place to start.
Yes, well, things down under went pear-shaped for me this morning. I don't understand. I watched that entire match. I don't understand how Djokovic won. Alcaraz looked to me to be clearly the better player. But Djokovic, he really kind of did a nice job of embracing the crowd, getting the crowd on his side. I don't know that I've ever seen another match where the crowd wasn't pro Alcaraz in an Alcaraz match. And then just in general, like the high leverage points, he just played cleaner. The really confounding and like throw your remote and like, I shouldn't be this angry this early in the morning type of stuff was the second serve for Djokovic. Alcaraz could find nothing to really gain an advantage when he was up against that second serve.
Wow.
And, you know, Djokovic's first serve abandoned him with like a set and a half to go in that match. And every single second serve, Alcaraz would come up, try to take it on quickly. And when he would come up, Djokovic would hit him with extra power on the second serve. When he would move back, he would give him extra slice. And it was like, air into the net on return from Alcaraz. And it's just like, he's conceding here, like take it. And he just couldn't do it. And then, you know, the kind of fourth set at the death, like the real high leverage stuff, like Alcaraz produces two break points to try to level that fourth, and the tide, the momentum really felt like it was swinging in his favor. And, you know, Djokovic just put his foot down. Alcaraz made a couple of boneheaded errors. And, you know, it's like Djokovic just looked like the more serious player out there. Alcaraz was having fun. He's kicking the ball. He's chumming with his box, even though he's like, you know, you're at the death here, mate. Like, what the hell?
Interesting.
It was a frustrating experience because I test said there was a clear better player and it was Alcaraz, and somehow, you know, Djokovic not only comes through 3-1, he looked like he had gotten, you know, he was obviously the medical timeout situation. He was not 100%. The weapons didn't really appear to be there all the way. It was mostly just that, Alcaraz could not find a way to gain an advantage when the opportunity arose.
Let's be clear here. You had a bet on Carlitos for this match or for the tournament?
Oh, for the tournament. I was heavy for a quarter for the tournament. I didn't think Djokovic was fairly priced by market at all. I still don't. I can't believe he's minus 160 against Zverev this next round. That seems completely backwards to me.
Wait, he's a minus 160 favorite against Zverev?
Yeah.
Oh, my. Oh, my. Okay.
I guess this is like there is a whiff of invincibility around Djokovic at this particular court.
He has won 10 of these tournaments. Yeah.
This is the only other kind of even remotely equivalent to Rafa on Philippe Chatrier is Djokovic on Rod Laver. And he's coming up with the magic. But I mean, Zverev didn't make it easy against Tommy Paul. But when he needed to raise his game, when he needed to find a break to level things in the first and second set, he did. And then when they got to the tiebreak, Zverev was just like, bang. No, I'm much better than you, and I will just win this tiebreak 7-0.
I have no idea how Zverev won that match, by the way. He was the lesser player, and he won the first two sets. It was incredible.
Yeah. He basically was like, yeah, let's see what you got, Tommy. Okay. I'll take it. All right. I'll try. Right. Like, that was kind of the feeling that I got, more so than he was truly the lesser player. But that said, I would make Zverev the -160 favorite here, and I'm staring at a Djokovic -143 right now at the place that'll take the biggest limits.
Wow. Heavy on Sasha Zverev there in that match. By the way, these are the current futures with six players left. Jannik Sinner, even money, the number one player in the world. Novak, who has won 10 of these at +220. Then Sasha Zverev at +450. Everybody else is in a different category. Dimonor, Shelton, and Sonego. Anything else besides Zverev, which you have painted a picture as to why you are in love with that bet, but anything else?
Maybe I'm like a prisoner of last year in the semifinals where Djokovic came out and Sinner just absolutely buried him. Right. Like, to me, that was almost like, well, yeah, that's the era of invincibility is now gone. And maybe realistically something else was going on that day. Something else in that cycle leading up to that moment really was affecting him. But whatever the case is, I'm cool on Djokovic. I think Sinner is vulnerable to finally lose at long last Alex Demonauer today, just because of the just because of the physical toll that the last match took on him. He was very, very clearly ill in that match. And if you didn't know, Demonauer is 0-9 head to head. This would be magic number 10 for Sinner if he gets the win. There's enough support here for Demonauer, I think, to do something special, which actually makes me think this is ultimately going to be a Zverev slam. Sorry for everyone who loves tennis.
Wow.
But I feel like it's coming.
Which would be his first ever, by the way. He's gotten to two slam finals and has not gotten himself a title. I thought about Dimonor plus the games. By the way, I have him at 55-1 to win the tournament. At no point did I ever think he'd get past Sinner here, and here we are now. Dimonor against Sinner. Dimonor will have the home crowd, of course. But it's because of that head to head. I'm not usually a head to head guy. I'm usually a data guy, but it is sure. His game is not really set up to beat Sinner if all is at top power. So really, if you are betting Dimonor in any way, it's because you think Sinner is hampered. You would agree with that, I think.
Without question. And I would even say that the best of Demonauer, which was probably like summer of last year, we haven't seen that guy at all in this run up. He was pretty bad in his quarterfinal, his round of 16 match. I thought he was just up against the Mickelson who couldn't find the court. I think Sinner's in trouble, and I think Zverev is the bet right now to the title town.
Okay, we go to the NFL and the NBA after a Martin Luther King Day of 8 NBA games. Drew's got thoughts and bets on both football and basketball. Other side, Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Ready to take your tailgate to the next level? You got to try Sewell's Barbecue. Born from a backyard cookout in a mason jar of unforgettable flavor, Sewell's has become a Southern favorite, delighting taste buds from Georgia to the Carolinas. From smoky ribs and mouthwatering wings to the perfect backyard burger, Sewell's turns every bite into a flavor-packed experience. Order now at sewellsbarbecuesauce.com. That's SEWELLSBBQsauce.com. Flavor this good is just a click away.
And if you're watching at home, you can scan that QR code now with your phone.
That's right. Scan away.
If you're driving, I don't recommend it.
Hold that up for a second, guys, so people can scan away. By the way, somebody tweeted yesterday, McManus, he tweeted, he goes, I listened to the show today, and I tried that website, Sewell's Barbecue, wait for it, Kelly, sauce.com. For some reason, it didn't work. No, Sewell's Barbecue Sauce.com is the actual, Sewell's BBQ Sauce.com is the name of the actual website. We do get tweets at Beating the Book, and I always appreciate it. I always appreciate the feedback. If you're funny, we'll always read it. You can even be mean to us, but as long as you're funny. Scotty B726, Baronco Scott. What about Ryan Day snapping the ball with 15 seconds on the play clock around the 240 mark? Gave Notre Dame a timeout. You know what? I missed that. I did miss that little detail. My bad. Moneyline Marv. I guess for their villains of college football arc, it made sense for Ohio State to win the first 12-team college football playoff after winning the first 4-team college football playoff. Ray at Ray 39-39-39. I realized I placed a 20-1 bet on the Washington Compadres to win the NFC on New Year's Eve at 2 a.m. don't remember placing it for some reason, but how's that ticket look now? Yeah, man, I don't know what's wrong with
those
you.
Are some of the best bets. You know what one of my favorite bets of the year was? Was me with a few too many drinks in me in Key West and texting Drew Dinsick. I'm like, I got to use this Card Rock promo bet on something on the Olympics because it's the only thing going on right now. What should I bet? And he's like, this guy top three in the marathon or something. I'm like, they only offer it to win or just to win, right? Win the gold. I'm like, I'm betting it anyways. And the guy actually won. I don't remember his name anymore.
I was going to say, you have great recall on who that was and what sport it was.
I bet Drew remembers.
Olympics Drew is our favorite kind of Drew.
He gets fired up. Yeah.
Jamie Leva, by the way, encroachment on Gil, 5 yards. Encroachment on Kelly Bidlin, too close to you. We'll get to more tweets, but Drew is here. Once again, Drew Dinsick at @whale_capper, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Okay, let's go to the National Football
League. Yeah, by the way, just a year away from Olympic Drew making a grand return in the Winter Olympics of 2026. Check out the old NBC docket for February of 2026. They have opening ceremonies on Friday the 6th, Super Bowl on Sunday the 8th, 2 weeks of Olympics, and then wedge in their NBA All-Star game on like February 14th or whatever. It's going to be an absolutely bananas month of coverage for the old Peacock.
Drew has got the February 2026 calendar ready to go.
If you haven't started handicapping Winter 2026 Olympics, you're behind.
You're behind.
Why don't they do the Olympics in the 2 weeks leading up to the Super Bowl? That would be nice.
I don't think the Olympic Committee is thinking about the Super Bowl.
Well, they should be, Gil.
Yeah,
I don't think they are.
John Stewart, who famously said about the Winter Olympics, less sports than it is drunken dares. It's one of the great lines ever. All right, National Football League. I don't know if you know this, Drew, but Philly's playing Washington in the NFC, and Buffalo's playing Kansas City in the AFC. Kansas City, a tick of a favorite. Philly taking money. First of all, how did the division round go for you, and where are the bets here moving forward?
Well, I mean, like, I just assume that, all the kickers I bet on made their extra points in their chip shot field goals, right?
This is bitter. No.
The Houston Texans can't execute the very most basic field goal to cover the spread. That absolutely hurt. And then, yes, the Eagles pushing that six is going to haunt me as well. I know that. Like, ultimately, they probably didn't deserve the cover, especially the way they played in the very tail end of that one.
What was with that defense? They just all of a sudden stopped blitzing.
I say they were thinking championship game. What am I going to wear? Yeah. What's my outfit going to be for the walk in? Those hurt. And then all of my Baltimore futures going up in smoke was rough. Got the over home there by the hook. Got the second half Ravens home thanks to the Bills not going for the touchdown, which I thought they easily would have gotten. Instead, they kicked the field goal to go up 8, which, okay, ultimately that was the difference. But there was the margins for all of the games were extremely narrow relative to spread, except for your Commies.
My Commies. How do you feel about the Eagles taking money now? Eagles up to a 6-point favorite in some spots here now.
I have fully staked 5.5. So I agree with that.
You have laid the 5.5. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I'm going to say it every week. Disrespectful.
Yeah.
Go back for more.
All disrespectful. All you people.
Hey, Gil, I'm not sure if you've been noticing, but this is going to be the fourth straight week on the road for the Commanders.
Yes, I have
not noticed. Easy to win your fourth straight game on the road in a playoff environment like the Link.
No, for sure. For sure. And by the way, and I'll just say this again for all Washington fans. None of us, right? None of us thought this was going to happen, right? I said all year, and I'm on the more optimistic side. I was like, hey, they're going to make the play. They're going to win one playoff game. And after that, that's a season. That's an unbelievable season. And then now, oh, my God. So I don't think there's anybody who – listen, but I will say this. I will push back a little bit on the narrative I'm hearing about how, Washington's defense has gotten rolled and all this stuff and how they'll be overmatched against Philly. They did play two games against Philly this year.
Sure.
And the first game, they led at halftime, did get beat up in the second half. I will grant that in Philly. Lost by 8. The second game, which everybody's saying, oh, well, Jalen Hurts got hurt and it was Kenny Pickett. Yeah, Philly was also +3 in turnovers. So that's a bit of horse manure on that narrative, you know, if I may say so. Like, I mean, so it's a little overblown to me, but I get it. Look, Saquon destroys them. There's no question he does. Yeah, go ahead.
Also, if I were you, I would have wanted to lose those two games so that you could be like, it's tough to beat a team three times, Gil.
I hate that.
The Commanders are very live. And I'll say what I said on the Megapod, which is if you like the plus six with Washington, bet the money line.
Yeah.
Like this is a team that's going to play into variance. That's what they do. Jaden Daniels is a quarterback who is capable of winning this game. We know he is. We know he's got. We know he has the goods. The Eagles have the worst. Have a worse quarterback and a worse coach. Like, these are all realities. I bet the Eagles because in particular the Barkley matchup is a disaster. And then on the defensive side, Jalen Carter like emerging last week. And Cosme going down with the ACL, that to me is being a little bit unspoken.
That's
like,
large.
Like the D line for the Eagles could like fully wreck this game. And yep. I know that Daniels out of the pocket is still capable of making magic, but you know, with the like this is a tough style of defense to do that against because they deploy so many guys in the secondary. And this could be sort of a breakthrough turnover type of performance for Daniels. But that said, he has been an absolute joy to watch. Lions Commanders was the best game of the playoffs, I thought, by far. It was just fun. I'm glad we get to see him take on the Eagles again. And at 6 -115, I'm not super inclined to say that there's a bet of the year on the Eagles here. 5.5 was good just because all of the concerns about Hurts kind of were put to bed, I thought, yesterday. Ultimately I think the Commanders are either money line or pass at this price.
Great advice last week from both you and Rufus, Steve Fezzik. That was the best advice of the week, which was if you're going to make a play here, and you didn't even have to have conviction on the Commanders. Just from mathematical standpoint, you should be playing the Commanders on the money line. Anything on the Bills Chiefs? Did you take a position there?
I did. I'm a glutton for punishment, so I went against Mahomes again.
Wow.
Give it to me. The edge here is virtually nil. I think this game should be a pick, and you're getting the better quarterback ? At plus money. The Bills defense is scary. The fact that they were so soft in that second half against the Ravens, and it really took the Ravens mistakes to kind of, get the Bills across the finish line is not lost on me. But I also feel like that was like a C performance from the Bills, and they still probably should have won by margin. Just in general, the way the Bills have sort of kind of cracked the code of how you want to attack the Spagnuolo defense, I think is notable. The general kind of give me Josh Allen with the ball needs to win the game. I'm happy having plus money in that situation. This is a very weak angle, and I don't know that there is a bet to be made in this game unless you just want some action.
I like the honesty. Drew's like, here's the bet. It's a very weak angle. I like the honesty. Anything NBA tonight before we bounce?
NBA tonight is virtually on market exactly, with the exception of I have a tiny edge against my Orlando Magic. I haven't bet it, but numbers say that Toronto should be a pick, and it's plus 1.5 right now. I don't know if I'm going
to
play it.
Was there anything to the fact that there were 8 games on MLK Day, 7 went under, and the only one that went over went to overtime? Anything to that?
I mean, there was a lot of early starts. Early starts in the NBA equal under.
Yeah, so that played into it for sure. Okay. Drew Dinsick, everybody, at whale_capper. An ornery Drew this morning. Drew, good luck moving forward, sir.
All right, best luck, guys.
Coming back with more football.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
VSiN fans, you're in luck. Circa Las Vegas owner Derek Stevens offering you 15% off at 3 incredible properties. Circa Las Vegas, the D. And Golden Gate, whether you're lounging by Circa's stunning rooftop pool or enjoying all the excitement Vegas has to offer, you'll save big with promo code VSiN15. Book your 2025 stay now at CircaLasVegas.com and use VSIN15 to get 15% off. Your Vegas adventure starts here. We really got to go back to the D and say hi to guys.
I think about that way too much.
Although I say that, remember the guy came by here yesterday. I'm like, oh my God, that's Captain D. I went and said hello to him. He looks at me like, I have no idea who you are.
You're right. Yeah, so, no, I do. So I don't know. I pulled up there for the Millions and Survivor check ceremony, and I was walking. I took an Uber, got dropped off there. And one of the valet guys we rarely saw,
yeah,
still called me out. Right, he's like, "Hey, I haven't seen you guys in a while." Oh, I'm like, wow. "Oh man,
yeah, this guy was not a valet guy. That's true." By the way, about the, I know you wanted to say something about the championship games. This is one of these things again where it's, you know, this is the difference between sort of a betting audience and a sports talk radio. So, a sports talk radio audience would, as folks listen to us on Sirius XM 158 for first time, they're sort of like, "Well, I mean, you must have big bets on the championship games." Actually, how it works for bettors is usually the opposite, right? And kind of for me, that's what it is, because I know you expect, it's like, oh my God, I can care less about your tennis bets. I want to hear about your NFL bets. Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I'm not getting in front of Patrick Mahomes, but I don't think the Chiefs are all that great, so that game scares me off. And then I'm being very honest about the Washington Commodores, where I'm just like, hey, this is all gravy at this point. My only bet is probably going to be my only bet from last week on that game, which is I'll just take them on the money line.
Yeah.
Because, again, the volatility of going for it as much as they do on fourth down, if you like them with the points, you should probably sprinkle on the money line, and I will have them on the money line. But no outcome would surprise me in that game. Again, like if Washington won it outright, I wouldn't be surprised. If Washington covered, I wouldn't be surprised. If Philadelphia rolled, I wouldn't be all that surprised, just because it's one football game in 60 minutes.
It's such a great point by you. I think it was the, I don't want to say it just, it's more that we have more games to choose from during the regular season, during the earlier rounds, right? It's not necessarily anything about the situation, but I think we often talk about it with a lot of guests like Drew. It's just the margins become so tight in some of these games between, yeah, like we're talking the Bills and the Chiefs. It's the best of the best that you've seen all season.
Rufus said it last week, right? Rufus, who's the best, Rufus Peabody, the most successful bettor of his generation. And he said, I'll be honest with you, at this point in the NFL season, there is no value in the side.
Yep.
There isn't. You could talk yourself into it, but he sees it that way.
So, and that's where, like, I, just going back to these games quick, like, the one bet I have in is just the teasers, which I probably bet too much on the college game last night. This is, like, not a good thing, but I was looking for something to pair with the Bills teaser leg this week, but you run it out of options. So I tied in Ohio State because I really wanted the Bills, because that was the one edge to me I could see. If I can get that out over seven, I am confident with Josh Allen heading into Arrowhead that we're going to have at least a tight game, and I think that's going to cover. What I was telling you during the break, though, I'm so glad you brought this up. I didn't even bring this up during the break, but I got one of those text messages last night or yesterday before the game, and we all get them around this time of year, right? The big games, right? Where someone wants bets, and it's the text from a Notre Dame fan, right? I know he's a Notre Dame fan. He goes, what do you like for tonight? I'm trying to get some bets in for the game.
Yeah.
What do you like tonight? Oh, and by the way, I don't want to play the under. I'm like, okay, so it's a Notre Dame fan and he doesn't want to play the under.
That's right.
Like, what do you want me to tell you? Because nothing I tell you, you're going to like. Just play the money line on Notre Dame, lose your bet, and be happy, I guess.
Get those texts all the time.
Because, you know, especially whatever you give them to, if you're wrong, you're going to hear about it a week later as well.
That's right. That's the other thing about that. Yeah. Oh, you're supposed to be real smart. Great bet you gave me. I thought you were going to say, did you get one of those texts again with a toll where they were asking you for the toll that you didn't pay?
I got that yesterday during the show.
I get those all day.
I was going to bring up real quick about those teams. I know we want to get to tennis. Yeah. I feel like I'm seeing the Eagles and Bills somewhat similarly, where there is, I think the running games have been extremely successful. I think there are fair questions about passing games and if there are issues in them right now, with whether it's Jalen Hurts on the Philly side, of whether it's just the lack of connection with some of the receivers on the Buffalo side. I think those are fair concerns. The problem is I see it completely differently, because I see it as Buffalo toying with some of these teams of not having to show as much as they probably could, some of the stuff that they're saving for Kansas City, that they were saving for Baltimore in big moments. And if they can run the ball on you with Josh Allen and these running backs, they will continue to do that. Whereas Philly's just, to me, getting bailed out a little bit by Saquon constantly being able to run all over these teams.
I will tell you, as you're talking, what I'm thinking about is a few things. One, the narratives are great, right? Can Josh Allen finally overcome the Patrick Mahomes hurdle, rubber match between the Eagles and this unbelievable rookie sensation who I know some people object to this. He is the greatest rookie quarterback we've ever seen.
It's awesome.
I don't care what people are like, what about Andrew Luck? Andrew Luck wasn't even the best rookie quarterback his year. He had 18 picks and Robert Griffin won rookie of the year. So I don't want to hear that nonsense either. And then, of course, in the Super Bowl, potential matchups, Buffalo-Washington rematch, quote unquote, from, you know, over 30 years ago. Kansas City trying to win their third consecutive Super Bowl, which is the biggest one of, you know, the biggest narrative of them all. Unless you're a Bills fan, the Bills trying to win their first after all those missed opportunities. The Bills, the only team to go to four consecutive Super Bowls in Super Bowl history, and they lost them all. And there's the Eagles trying to win their second. But here's what I would say as a sort of headline. And I haven't heard anybody say this yet. This might be the four, as a group, least impressive teams as a group to get to this point in NFL season that I can remember in recent history.
Oh, I completely agree. I mean, if you're talking about just recent form, who's been the most impressive? It's the Commanders without question.
Right, because what I'm getting at is, like, even last year, like, you could make the case San Francisco might have been an epic team. I mean, Aaron Schatz had him as a top 10 team of all time. And obviously the Mahomes teams in the past with Tyreek, those were great teams. But you think about these four teams, Washington's defense is middling, mm-hmm. right? As great as Jaden is, Washington's defense is middling. A great story with all their free agent pickups, but still middling. Philadelphia, I mean, those fans will be the first to tell you this team's not as good as the one 2 years ago.
No.
Their passing game seems to have disappeared. They have this unbelievable running back. Their defense is epic. I'll give them that. But it's certainly not. I don't think Philly fans would say this is their best team ever. Kansas City will absolutely tell you that that's not their best team ever, in even though they went 15-2. And then Buffalo, listen, I've said it all year about Buffalo. Their best play is still Josh Allen tucking the ball under and running the football.
Yeah.
Buffalo might be the sneakiest of them, but it's not Buffalo's best team either, I don't think.
They would bring up what I brought up, concerns in the passing game, right? Where was Dalton Kincaid last week? Where's Amari Cooper been this whole time? What's going on there? Why are you only passing it as much as you are? Those are the concerns.
Which, by the way, if you're a Washington person, is like, perfect, just what we need to try to, you know, win a Super Bowl this year, because those would have to be the conditions. To tennis, the Australian Open, the first slam of the tennis calendar is here. Let me just say, with my futures bets, the only thing got left in pocket is Iga to win her quarter. By the way, Iga Swiatek is -1100 to get to the quarters. She's playing Emma Navarro tonight. She's -1100 in this match.
That's
By the
silly.
Way, it's justified against the number 8 ranked player in the world. It's just
That's
incredible.
Awesome.
So Iga is, I still have the Iga quarter, and then I have Iga to win tournament at +550. That is still, by the way, Alex de Minaur is also at 55-1. We still have Alex de Minaur also.
That's awesome.
But he's got Jannik Sinner, and this was always sort of the hurdle that he had to get through. All the other, you know, of the futures, they're gone.
What's the longest odds you've ever hit a Grand Slam outright winner at?
Well, this would be it. This would be it for sure. Because it's, as I said, on the men's side,
you just don't get that.
It's almost performative on the men's side to even bet a long shot because you're like, well, these three guys still exist.
Right.
In Sinner, Djokovic, and Alcaraz. And by the way, in case you missed it, Djokovic beats Alcaraz this morning. So he is headed to the semis of a tournament that he has won 10 times. And as I said at the top, only Rafa at Roland Garros, at Philippe Chatrier, is a better proposition than Novak at the Australian Open, but Jannik Sinner is still a short shot. Anyway, the two plays tonight, as we are on the back half of the quarterfinals now, the two plays tonight are both in the same match. It is the Svitolina-Keys match. Elena Svitolina, otherwise known as Miss Gaël Monfils, Kelly, as I know you
really?
Know. Oh, yes. Yeah.
I always like keeping up on the tennis hot goss, so keep me informed.
It's not even hot goss. I mean, they're together. They've been together for a long time. But here's the thing. Think about it. You're a professional tennis player. You're traveling the world. You're kind of isolated from real life. And the only people you socialize with are other fit tennis players. And so let the magic happen.
It's like the Olympic Village.
That's
man.
Right. It's like the Olympic Village, but all the time.
But then you're dating some dude named Gail.
It's Gael, and you're getting close to Gil. Let me just say that. Elena Svitolina is the play tonight, plus the over 22. Madison Keys has been fantastic. She is having a resurgence here. Her numbers, 6 months better than Svitolina on hard courts, worse than Svitolina if you do a year of data. So better in 6 months, but worse in a year. Either way, she should not be this big of a favorite against Svitolina, who by my numbers should be the smallest of dogs. So plus 164 on Alina Svitolina, and I think it goes over 22 games. I'm looking at Svitolina in three. But however you get over 22, I'll take it. Where are your two tennis plays? How about some midweek Champions League action for you, betting-wise? Paul Carr joins us next. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.